Dear ones, with God's help, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And we can read beginning with verse 9 through 14. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, beginning with verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. May God bless our word. Dear ones, the parable that we have read here together is a parable that each of us know very, very well in its in familiarity towards each of us. We've read this probably many times. And it speaks of what happens, or in this case, in this instance, what happened when two people went to pray. Now, we have a church here that, just looking across the audience, we probably have 80 here, roughly, and we all came to pray. And it tells us what God's reaction is to the prayer of those who assembled into a house of prayer. So we can recall back in Isaiah and the prophet that the temple was called the house of prayer. And these two men, it tells us, one is a Pharisee, one is a publican. The publican, we know, is a tax collector. So he was appointed by occupying Rome to tax the people, and they were hated by all people because they were collecting tax, and many of them defrauded and even took more than they should have to keep a percentile for themselves, and they got rich in doing so. So they were sinners and hated by the people. And one is a Pharisee who is a religious man, one who speaks of God, who portrays himself to, and probably very, as we can see as we read this account, very genuinely in his own thoughts, he is one who loves God. And so Jesus is now speaking, he says, unto certain. So he's speaking this parable to certain few who had been there, who were listening, who had trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And then through that belief that they are good, they despised others. And then we see what an example of that is. So it says two men went up into the temple to pray. So they both entered the proper place of prayer. It says the one is a Pharisee and the other is a publican. Now the Pharisee says stood and prayed thus with himself. And I think that if we look at just how Jesus describes this scene and what he says, it reveals much. It says the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. And just by the wording here later, where we see that he tells us that the publican is standing afar off, we can assume that the Pharisee has come as close as he can to the holy place. And he's standing, drawing very close as he could probably get. And he prays with himself. So in other words, Jesus is describing that this prayer that the Pharisee is praying isn't making it to God. He's praying with himself. But he calls upon God. He says, God. So he takes the holy name of God and he brings it down to his righteousness. And he says, God, I thank thee. So far, it sounds all good. I thank thee. Now, we have to consider what he is describing here, what kind of a man he is. Because if we look at this, he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And what does he describe? He says, I am not an extortioner. That's good, right? I am not unjust. I'm very fair in all my dealings. I am just in the things that I, in all my transactions, everything I do, I'm just. He says, I'm not unjust like other men are. I'm not an adulterer. I don't commit adultery, fornication, even as, and he singles out this publican who is afar off. He's barely in the temple. He's barely made an entrance into the temple to pray. And this Pharisee is all the way up to the front. And yet he sees him and he says, I'm not. So we would look at this man, this Pharisee, as, you know, he's a good man, right? He comes to pray. He's thankful that he's not unjust. He's thankful that he's not an extortioner. He's thankful he's not an adulterer. He's thankful he's not like this publican and other men are. And now he's going to list, I fast twice a week. Even though it only calls for twice a year, he's doing it twice a week. Way above and beyond. I'm going, God, I'm thankful that I'm doing this twice a week. He's recognizing the things that he does. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, if he found a dollar, he's going to give 10% of that, of everything. It's not required by the law. It's only what? Cattle, oil, corn. One other. It's not required of everything, but he's going to give of everything. Just to be sure, he's going to set aside his 10% and give it to God. I tithe of everything that I possess. And so we have to look at this Pharisee. He is a religious man. And we have to look at his life as it's shown here. And I'm going to say that this is probably all true that he is bringing before God. Let's say all of it is accurate, 100%. He's a religious man. He's a good man. He's just. Everything is in its place. Everything's in its place. He came to the house of prayer to pray. And this was his prayer. So if we look at our own life, okay, so this man has come into the, he called God into his presence, okay? Now, who did he call by name? God. It's one of the most humbling verses, I think, for us to think of or to consider. And I'm just saying this because it's so descriptive of who God is. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one." One is with a capital O. "The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." That has to strike us. He inhabits eternity because his creation cannot contain him. The world, the heavens cannot contain him. He's so great and so good and so lofty. He inhabits eternity. He's outside of his creation. And that's who he is. He says, and he says, whose name is holy. His name is holy. This is who we today, when we pray to God, we called upon the one whose name is holy, the one who inhabits eternity. He says, "I dwell in the high and holy place," a place that you and I can only come to in prayer. And now, what kind of a prayer is that that will be accepted by him? So, and he says, "I dwell in a high and holy place." And then this is the humbling part of this verse. We just received a description of who God is from himself. And he said, "And I also dwell with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit." To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So this religious man, who the world would look upon as religious, who we would look upon as religious. And you know, we do not judge any man. Absolutely not. Woe to those who are judgmental of anyone. Right? We don't judge anyone. But in the eyes of a man, when we look at this man, we would say, he's a good man. And now, if this is us, and we've come now into the house of God, did we come to justify ourselves? How did we come? Because let's say we are now, let's say that such a thing would occur that you and I can come into the presence of God and declare to him why he should receive us into glory. What would we say? What would we look at in our life? Would we look at those things which we have done? Well, you know, I made sure that I gave of everything that I had, 10%, even though it doesn't require it. I'm going to do the extra just to cover everything. I'm not going to be an adulterer. I'm not going to be an extortioner. I'm going to be just in my deal. I'm going to do everything right. And I'm going to be thankful to God that I'm not, you know, we read of bad men. We read of men that do horrible things, horrific crimes, even petty crimes, thievery, all kinds of things. You know, just watching men cuss and curse and do lewd things. We feel in a way that we're separated from that. And what do we look at? What do you look at in your life? You look at the things that you do, right? Do you? Do I? If I'm going to stand before the presence of God and I'm going to explain why I should be, as he says here, exalted. Why is it? Well, this man came in a manner in which probably many of us come. We look at the deeds of our day, and as long as we can see some good things we did, we're going to try to focus on those things as if they can cover up the things that are lacking, that rob God of his glory when we put the name of God into our lips and have it roll off our lips. And so here's a man, a Pharisee, and here's all of us here together. We came into the house of prayer, a place that is ordained and dedicated, just like the temple was. Not in its exact way, but it's a place of worship, and we came to pray. Now, how many of us will leave here justified? Because a judgment is made every time, according to this word that Jesus spoke, when we come to him in prayer, God makes a judgment. He makes a judgment. He will either exalt us or he won't. So there's a judgment that is made based upon our prayer, our worship, our time that we set aside to come and do the right thing. And I'm going to go as close as I can to the holy place. It's in the church. It's in the sanctuary where God is. And he is here. Because I know that at least two or three of us gathered in his name. My hope and prayer is that every one of us gathered in his name, because we have the assuredness of a blessing then. And so where two or three gather, the promise is with us. He is here. That's as close as you're going to get to the holy place. He's here. Now, what does our prayer look like? What do we rest upon? Well, we have a picture of the Pharisee. And then it tells us, and we see a lot of eyes here. I. So we have this real closed-in circle. He's talking about himself. He's not really asking for God of anything. He's thanking God that he's so good. And it's all about himself. I mean, we could probably count five times here that he says I. Or more. I'm just looking at it. I. And the publican tells us, standing afar off, he couldn't even think of approaching the holy place, but he's in the house of prayer, afar off. And there, apparently the form of worship there was, in prayer, was in standing. They're standing. Because the Pharisee stood and the publican is standing far off, but he wouldn't lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast and he spoke 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 words here. A prayer of 7 words. God, he calls upon the same God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So, this man is recognizing that he did approach a God who is high and the lofty one, the one who inhabits eternity. And he knows that the only way that he will inhabit his heart is if he is of a contrite spirit. And he knows that the only way for him to receive, he needs mercy. He needs a propitiation. He cannot stand in the presence of God without a propitiation. He understood this before the New Testament was given. He understood this. And in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, he says, speaking about that which reconciles us or brings us at one again with Christ, he says, therefore, being justified by faith. Okay, so we are justified by faith and faith alone. But we have to be brought by that faith into his grace. Because we see two men that are coming to pray. They've entered into the house. There's some kind of a faith there. There's some kind of a belief system that brings them to the temple. One enters into his grace, one does not. There's a belief system. I believe with every one of us that entered into these doors, every one of us came with something. From the littlest child, he's heard about Jesus. And he knows you come into church, you come to church to pray, you know God is here. You, in your mind, you know there's a belief system, structure, something brought you here to put you into the presence. Now, will you, as it tells us here, and we'll read this, he says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith gives us peace. And then he says, by whom also? So once we have this faith, we know what gives peace. The absence of conflict, meaning there is no conflict between you and your God. There's no conflict between you and your fellow man. There is peace. What gives peace? Your faith, which brings an action. So it says here, you have peace with God. Okay, so we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this faith, we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wow. What is grace? This is the very presence of Christ himself. We are brought into his presence by our faith, a faith that gives us, it says here, that brings us peace. How is it that we have peace with God? The Apostle Paul tells us in the Acts of the Apostles, we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our repentance. And so we have here a man who is a sinner who says, God, be merciful to me. This is a repentant man. That is what brings him into the presence of Christ. Not his calling him, God, but I did this in your name. No, he says, God, be merciful to me. And there's a judgment that is made. And it says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Who is it alone that can justify you and me? It's God. So God looked upon two prayers. He justified one man. The one that you and I would probably dismiss. And the one that we would probably look on to with some kind of esteem. He's a good man. He did not leave justified. He says, I tell you. Who said this? Jesus said this. I tell you. This man went down to his house. So we're all going to go to our houses. By God's mercy, we will make it there. If not, we will be ushered into his presence to hear whether we are justified or not. By what? But I gathered, I did this, I did all these things. You know, list them. Make it a mile long. If you're going to be justified by your works, you're going to be judged by them too. And you're going to be found lacking. And I'm going to be found lacking. So what does that mean? That I can go on sinning? No. We see a repentant man here. Through repentance alone, you and I, brothers and sisters and dear friends, can be justified. Why? Because it tells us that in Peter tells us, for Christ, it says, once has suffered for sins, the just one, for the unjust, you and me, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So Jesus died, he suffered once for you and for me. The just for the unjust. Now, what can bring me to that grace? A faith that brings me to the recognition that I have no merit of my own. Does that mean I can go on sinning? No, it means be merciful to me. I have recognized I am a sinner. This man went justified. Could he have come back the next day and prayed the same prayer? He couldn't. I don't believe he could. Because he came broken with a faith and a repentant heart, relying solely upon God's mercy, and he was justified, as was the thief on the cross, the same way. Lord, remember me. Not because I did anything for you. I didn't do anything. But because of what you will do for me, remember me too. A broken man does not live in sin. A broken man does not continue coming into the house of prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I'm going to go on in sin. And Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I'm going to go on in sin. No, it doesn't work that way. He can't be justified. Because once we are justified, there's a sanctification. And it is a lifelong process. Because in our daily readings at home and in church, and when we come and in our sermons and what we listen to, the sermons from other of our churches and so on, all those things are brought and for our edification, for our strengthening, to strengthen that inner man, so that, as it says here, for everyone, not most of you, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He's going to be brought low. Everyone. Do you think anything of yourself? To stand in the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. The heavens and the earth will roll up as a scroll He took on flesh and blood so he can enter into his creation. And we're going to get into his, stand in his presence and pray. Thankful that I'm not like such and such. You know, we have to recognize, even from the last time that we gathered, last Sunday to today, that we have failed. We have failures. If I'm going to point to what I did, my tithing, my this, my, you know, give 50% of your goods. Give them all. Give them all, Paul said. What good does it do you? Zero. Why? Because you want to be justified by it. You want to be justified by what you did. It's filthy rags. It's filthiness to come before a God who is holy and say, look what I did. Paul said, Paul says, concerning zeal, he talking about himself. He was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. This is him. This is him. This is this man that came in as close as he could to the holy place and numbered off his stuff. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's what he was. And Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was blameless, he thought. Do we ever persecute Christ in how we deal with our fellow man? You know, the brother just led us in prayer about loving others, and he mentioned about loving our enemies. That always has to, brothers and sisters, dear friends, it has to do something to us. It has to. If we brush that off, what are we saying? Look at my other stuff. Yeah, I couldn't fulfill that, but look at my other. I did. I gave my tithes. I didn't extort anyone. I did this, da, 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 and we're going to justify ourselves before a holy God. No, our faith brings us to repentance, and that alone brings us into the presence of his grace. It said, my grace is sufficient for you. Jesus says to Paul, I am sufficient. It's just me that you need, nothing else. Yes, you might suffer, Paul, but it's okay. I am with you, and I am enough. When Jesus becomes not enough for us, we're going to look to the beggarly elements of this life. We're going to look to our works to justify us. We're going to look to everything else but that which is really blameless. And that is to stand in his presence in the recognition of a holy God and call upon him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We will be justified. We will be justified. And that justification will lead to our sanctification and ultimately Jesus' words to our exaltation, which is why all of us came here. All of us came here that we would one day be exalted by him in his holy presence. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.